Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio conference call and feedback line. This is Poetic. And tonight we're holding it down until our lovely lady Di join us tonight. She's having some trouble herself. So tonight's topic, before we really get into tonight's topic, I just want to introduce it as the title of the topic. It's what is a good distribution deal versus a bad distribution deal. And tonight we got a plethora of guests who's going to join us and, you know, help chime in on this topic. But before we get started, we're going to cover the show in prayer as we always do. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, let's pray today for a better tomorrow. For time is passing between the minutes and hours. Life on earth may be short. So listen, God's children, and give this some thoughts. For today we live, tomorrow's not promised. So let's take the practice God's word upon us and use it as a daily digestion, for it is our hope and only protection. So together today, if we may, let's take a moment out to our knees to pray that God will make tomorrow a much better day. Lord, as we quest into this business of music, we ask that you cover us, help us retain this information that we can make a living from what we do and what we desire in music. We ask that all ears that are listening to the show be covered under your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the show, Lady Di. Lady Di, you with me?
I got your back, Poetic. What's going on? Yeah. This is Sean.
All right. Hey, Sean. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Should be a good show tonight.
Absolutely. I'm sure
Lady Di is putting down her bags and getting ready, you know, getting her vocals ready for us. Yeah, that is a good show tonight.
Yeah.
Now,
when she's ready, the mic is open for you, Lady Di. I understand you're under some kind of uncertain positions, in an uncertain position right now, so in conditions. 706-681, and you will please state your name and where you're calling from, and let me know if you're one of our guests tonight.
My name is Johnny Wesley. I'm calling from Columbus, Georgia, representing Flipper Flavor Records, Flavor Flipping Management, and DGF Records.
Hey, Johnny, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us, and I know you are one of the guests tonight. I'm going to go to the – I'm still checking the line. Hold on a second, Johnny. 212-831. Could you please put your name, where you're calling from, and if you're one of our guests tonight. Going once, going twice. If you would, please just press the number one. It'll put your hand down. Right now you have your hand up, and that indicates that you wanting to either want to speak or have a question for our guest. So if you would, just politely press the number one and just listen in to the show. 212-831. Thank you. All right. Tonight what we're talking about is what is a good distribution deal versus a bad distribution deal. You know, as an artist, we aim high, we shoot high. We want, you know, when we shoot high, we're looking for immediate success, and we want a deal that is going to actually change our life. And a lot of times, we don't know what a good deal is. We just seeking, we're searching, we're looking for, you know, the answer to our problem. But the problem is a lot of people don't understand that a distribution deal puts your product into a in position out there. It just position your music where it can be purchased and bought. The thing it is, after that, it comes behind it a lot of promotions. So I have questions, and hopefully we can get some answers tonight. Wesley has joined us. Johnny, tell our listeners who you are, what you do in the industry, and what your experience has been so far, thus far, as regards to distribution.
Well, believe it or not, I got a national distribution deal about 7 months ago for my female artist, Contanique, Contanek, with KES Distribution out of Chicago. The song went national. I think we were on about 40-something stations. And, it got to the point where the P1 stations, the big stations, were basically calling, asking about the record, of what they, what we wanted to do as far as promotions. So, at that time, I had an investor that, didn't come through at the time, to basically give us that big, budget money that we need to basically, run, like 30-second commercials, of our record Tootsie Pop. And that would kind of, help with us running those 30-second commercials. You would hear, of course, the music, plus start possibly getting some spins and getting some requests to get added, to the playlist in those six major markets, in which really it seems like, the major markets really don't want to pay, attention until you're probably on about 30-something stations, and we were at that point. So, at the time, like I said, we basically didn't have the budget money that was needed to push us probably to the 100 Billboard chart. Single sale-wise, we did hit the hot R&B single sales chart. I came in now number 7, I think it was, and then that next week we hit 6, then we hit 5, then we fell off and we came back on, I think, at 8, and then we never came back on. So I would say that as far as the distribution deal, I was a little fast about it. And what I mean by that was, the distributor had basically said that he would give us a pressing and distribution deal, meaning that he would press up the CDs. And even though he said this, a little time it went by and I hadn't heard from him. So I felt like, if I step in and I handle the initial order of the CDs and I pay for it, maybe he would move a little faster. So I did that. And as time went on down the line, I think that was a mistake. And what I mean by that is, and what I think is that if the distributor presses up the CD, then it's like he has invested some money into it. And not saying that our distributor didn't do a good job. It wasn't really on him, but he might have did a little bit more, maybe. Maybe he had pressed up the CDs, basically investing, because basically everything we paid for, the mail-outs, the pressing of the CDs, everything. So the distributor was at no loss. So that's kind of what I've done, as far as distribution. Now, I mean, we still have that distributor. Like I said, we just put out an EP of the song, Tootsie Pop, and they had two other songs and the video that you could also watch. And we're still selling it online on iTunes. I mean, if you Google her, it's some sites where you can get it. It's in Japanese. Some sites is in Britain, type of language. So that's kind of where I'm at with my female artist. And now we've basically came out with another version of it, more of a hard version, because the first version was actually a dance. Now we have one called P-Pop, which that's the radio version. The club version, of course, I can't say. So that's kind of where we're at. We're starting to leak that to some of the DJs, starting to get some radio play on a couple of clear channel stations. Here in Columbus, Georgia, we're getting radio play. Hopefully within the next week or two, we'll start sending packages out to some of the stations, mainly just in the south, like Georgia, Florida, Alabama, maybe another couple of other cities. We can't go national again because we basically don't have that type of budget. And we have put a video out of P-Pop, which is on YouTube. It's just put C-O-N-C-A-N-E-K. You can see that video. And I think on November the 11th, we'll be releasing the movie version of the video to World Star Hip Hop. So that's kind of where I'm at with my female artists and distribution. So
you definitely said some valuable information, some stuff that really raised some questions in my ear a few minutes ago. You said that you had some physical distribution, and my question as regards to the physical distribution, do you think it's as prevalent in today's market and as necessary to have it as once we once did with the digital age and the process now?
Oh, well, see, here's the thing. Like, I mean, I can put it on iTunes. I could probably put it on CD Baby, Rhapsody, you know, a couple of sites, some sites, quite a few. But with us going with this distributor, I mean, you can go to FYE, and we're online. If you go to FYE and search and put C-O-N-T-A-N-E-K, it's going to pop up. Me, myself, without the distributor, I probably couldn't get on FYE that easy. So some of the outlets, you know, the ringtone, you know, we had a lot of spots I had never heard of, thumbplay.com. And, you know, just for me to keep up with everything, because there was so many sites that he knew about, I had to just Google my artist myself. That's what I would do. I would Google her and be like, okay, boom, she's on this site. I'll copy it and, you know, I'll Twitter it, text it, Facebook it, Reverb it, you know, MySpace and everything, you know. So every other day I was Googling, so something else was popping up. Press releases was popping up that the distributor was putting out on PR Web. So it was just basically it's like his clientele, I guess, being a distributor for so many years, his clientele, just like a major label, you know, look how long they've been around. So their clientele and the people that they know, you're not going to know these people. And then they have a relationship with people because they've been doing this for so long. It's just like if you know someone that say they own their own store and they were and you go in there and you shop all the time, you know, you shop with them so much that they come in and you're like, look, man, you know, we'll cut you a deal because you know you're always your valued customer. So they look out for you. And that's kind of how I see some of the distributors and also the major labels, their clientele and the people that they know, they're able to put you in positions and places that you probably can't put yourself. And that's how I saw the distributor. And it was just some of the things that was popping up, it was amazing. I mean, I'm Googling my artist, and I click on a link, and the only thing is that's in English is her name, Contanique, and Tootsie Pop. And everything else is a whole nother language. Basically, you know, it went international. He put it out there for the world. I know I wouldn't have been able to put it at that level. I could put it on some sites, but, I mean, I'm talking about maybe like 40-something sites he had IEP on. So, yeah, definitely. Right there, that just says it all to me.
Absolutely. Now, it sounds to me that the deal that you had with the distributor, you wasn't completely dissatisfied with. It sounds like it was a pretty decent deal. What was the percentage, if you don't mind us asking, or if you don't mind us sharing this with our students?
Don't mind
audience.
At all.
All right. What was the percentage breakdown?
20%. 20%. Basically, like, I say our If you download the song on iTunes, I think it's 129. So we would have got, I think like 89 cents or something like that. Basically, like 20%, somewhere in there.
Oh, awesome. I want you to stay with me, man. We're going to go to a short break. When I come back, I'm going to bring in, well, it looked like the caller dropped off. They just raised their hand. I was going to, it looked like the caller had a question. Just stay with me for a moment. We'll go to a short break, and we'll be back in a moment, okay?
Okay.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio Conference Call and Feedback Live. Right now, we're talking to Johnny Wesley. And Johnny Wesley, what's the name of your company again, real quick?
Flippin' Flavor Records and is my record label. And Flavor Flippin' Management, Flavor Flippin' Management is my management company. And basically what I did was I had a female artist that came up to me, and she wanted to have her own label and everything. So I basically became like a manager and an investor. And her label is called DGF Records, Dope Girl Fresh Records.
I want you to say that on the other side. We'll come back to it. Okay, Johnny?
Okay, I will.
Quick break. We're going to go to a quick break. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Time for call and feedback.
This your boy PC, the champion. No, I support that WEW Foundation, which is a non-profit organization for the battered and abused women, men, and children of all communities. And I want y'all to call and request that new hot single, Champion. I'm Mr. Dallas, and I approve of this message.
What's up, family? This your boy, Kofan. Shout out to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Request my single, Call Me, on HipHopNationalRadio.com.
Call and feedback line. Here we go. We're talking with Johnny Wesley. And we're going to bring in this other caller who just raised their hand. 646-645, if you would, please state your name, where you're calling from, and if you're one of our guests tonight. Or do you have a question for our guest?
Hi. I don't know. Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. 646.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to Hip Hop Now.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. Now, this is Taish Harris, and I was calling because I'd received the invitation that you sent out, and I was so impressed with the fact that you put this call together and what the gentleman who owns his own label had to say. And I just wanted to say that I actually worked for Columbia Records for 9 years, and I worked at Sony Music Distribution as a college rep, and then I went back again and worked there handling accounts for Epic and for Columbia. And now I also have my own distribution company. So your call was very interesting to me, and thanks for putting it on. But I think what your guest had to say was really – I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
Awesome. I'm glad that you called. I want you to stay with us because I'm going to be armed with some questions for you, too. You say you work for Columbia. Definitely want you on tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'd be glad to. Thank you.
All right.
And I think that what your guest this evening had to say was really informative. I mean, he really walked through every single solitary detail of what he experienced, which isn't uncommon in the distribution world. I think his distributor absolutely handled things for the most part, correctly, particularly since he was just entering the marketplace. But I love the fact that he was able to speak about his radio play and the P1 and P2 market, and the fact that he's now going overseas and distribution-wise and marketing his product to more outlets, because he made a really good point when he said that, you know, you can always put your product on different sites and at different retailers, but if it doesn't move, it doesn't matter. And I thought that what he said about the fact that, you know, he was limited to a domestic release, and maybe in some cases, in terms of the exposure that he received, it was in limited markets, was really important as well. So I just wanted to tell him that I really appreciated the information that he shared.
Thank you for those comments. Poetic, are you there?
Yes, Lady, I am. I'm talking on mute, unfortunately.
I know you are. I put myself
on mute because I have a storm behind me. I don't know if you guys are hearing the rain, but the rain is coming down really heavy here. And I didn't want to be there with the call. So
that's that Miami air down there. That's that Miami air. Excuse me, the young lady that just spoke, what is the name of your company?
It's HSM.
Can you repeat your name again?
My name is Taish Harris, and my company is HSM Entertainment.
Okay.
HSM, like Mary, Entertainment.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure it was clear that all the guests got to hear and all the people listening got to hear the name of your company and your name. Because I'm sure Poetic could be getting a lot of calls for you.
Oh, goodness.
Mr. Wesley, got another question for you. Just before we went to the break, you were about to allude to your artist and, you know, some experience that your artist was having in light of your distribution deal. Go ahead, sir, if you would.
Yes. Like I said, well, you know, we basically at the point where, you know, we still have the distributor there, but it still comes down to marketing dollars. So, you know, with the marketing dollars that been, like I said, with us hitting like 40-something stations, I think in like Greenwood, Mississippi, you know, she was getting like 30 spins a week. She had the number one most requested song. But with the investor not being there and those marketing dollars and the money that we needed, we wasn't able to basically travel to that city. You know, she got the number one most requested song. We need to travel to that city, get down there, promote, you know, talk with the club owners, go to the radio station, let them know, hey, she's here. I'm pretty sure she got the number one most requested song. If we tell them we're in the city, I'm pretty sure they want to do an interview, without a doubt. We wasn't able to do those kind of things to help push, you know, the record. And that's kind of sometimes where, you know, a lot of people say stay independent and don't feel with the major labels. But, you know, my thing about it is major labels, they got the marketing dollars. The major label, they got the clientele. So it's like if the major label send it to the station and if it's hot, it's a hit, they're going to play it. If you're independent and you send it and it's hot, yeah, it's iffy. So, you know, I'm one of the type of people, you know, I like being independent into a sense, but you know, you just got to look at the big picture. I mean, you know, Warner Brothers, Universal, Atlantic, you know, these people was around before I was born. You know, I'm only 41. So, you know, I'm the type of person, I feel like I don't want to give them everything. So, you know, with female artists, I wouldn't mind coming in and maybe giving them, you know, an album or a single deal, you know what I'm saying, and kind of go from there and just kind of see how things go. I wouldn't want to sign my artist's whole life away to them, but it just depends because they're kind of calling the shots at that time in a sense because they're coming at me, and I just got to see what they're offering, what they're talking about, and kind of what they want to do. But that's kind of we're kind of back to the streets with, like, the, you know, the new cut. I mean, the Tootsie Pop is still floating. You know, we only did a 6 to 8 week campaign. We're not actually following the record anymore. You know what I'm saying? Basically, I picked for, like, the marketing and promotions. I used somebody else because I felt like I'm going into something that I've never done before. You know, I've never had an artist, you know, go national or something like that. So I wanted to go with somebody, and I think Ray Kennedy was the guy that worked the record for us. And the distributor, like I said, was KES Distribution, Carmen Johnson. And like I said, our album is done, but what we did, we just did another, it probably was like a dance song for the girls, for little girls and teenage girls. And that's probably why it definitely without it was a hit. Nobody, you know, anybody that heard it, without a doubt, would say it's a hit. You know, that's not the problem. But a hit with no money behind it, you know, that's kind of where we were. So we were giving up on the song because first put his song out, I think it was Lick, 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 or something like that. Put it out, and it really didn't do that well at first. But then next day, him changed the name of the album. I think his album was first called Incognito or something like that. changed the title of the album, did a couple of songs with Timbaland, and put that same song back out on Def Jam, and look at him now. So I'm pretty sure if we were to get a deal with Atlantic or somebody like that, and shoot a video for Tootsie Pop and shoot it to MTV BET, that same song with Atlantic or somebody behind it, some of those P1s, Hot 97, you know, I'm out of Columbus, Georgia, Hot 97, B103. Jay Nix, one of the hottest DJs in Atlanta, he did play our song in the Battle of the Beats about 5 months ago. We went up against an artist called Cash Cow in the Battle of the Beats, and right there live on the air, somebody called me, because I'm not from Atlanta, somebody called me and let me hear it through the radio. He basically was like, look, man, I don't know who record this is, which I know he know who record it is, but I don't know who record this is, but y'all need to get behind this, because this guy right here, the Cash Cow, just got signed to Universal 2 weeks ago, and, you know, he only beat y'all by one vote. So, I mean, without a doubt, we got a hit, but like I said, a hit without any marketing dollars, and that's, you know, it's just like running for president. You know, if you can't run no commercials and you can't travel from city to city, hey, who's going to know who you are? So that's kind of, you know, my artist was running for Queen of the South, because we haven't really had a female rap artist out of the South. Really do nothing in a while. Yeah, we know about Trina. Trina's been around forever. I'm talking about somebody new, somebody fresh. Just like Nicki Minaj, you know, she's fresh from up north, even though she's been around, but to nationally, to everybody, to the public eye, she's new. So, you know, I feel like I got that the Queen of the South. I mean, she's beautiful, rap, write her own stuff. So I know I got a high artist without a doubt, but it's going to take somebody to come in, like I told the distributor. You know, I did the best I could. You know, I took her from Z to G. G means I did good, but I need somebody to take her from G to A so she's accomplished and considered a star. Stamp. And that's kind of where I'm at, man. I'm trying to push my artist, and I guess, you know, basically kind of get her a deal or maybe get somebody to come behind us and help us take her to the top. But I'm getting all kind of calls for all kind of things. People are calling for her to model. I got people calling for her to host shows. And, you know, we are making some money. You know what I'm saying? We getting probably like about $1,500 a show. So, you know, that like I said, from where we was and how we started to just having a song on locally, two stations, and next thing you know, three stations, four stations, five stations, six stations, seven stations, eight stations. Next thing I know, we got distribution, and our song just got sent out to 230 stations nationwide. So I try to tell her, don't get frustrated. You know, sometimes things happen for a reason. You just got to have faith, believe in God, and somebody will come along. And, you know, when you're telling it, you just see it. I mean, when you go to showcases, and it might be 30 artists that perform, but it's just a star is a star. A hit is a hit. You just there's just something about a star that just, you know, it's just there. Everybody can see it. Everybody in there at that showcase, anybody, even all the other artists, they just see it. They know. Like, yo, shout out to God.
She's hot.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. And you said you got to have faith and you got to believe it. But faith without works, believe me, bro, is nothing. So you guys are putting in the hard work, what's necessary to do it. Yes, and you do have to have faith. You have to believe in it. But you also have to work behind it and put that project together, because you have to put in the energy in which you're asking God to put the energy in you.
Right.
I'm going to ask Tish, when we come back from the break, we're going to ask Tish, do she have any, you know, because she works from the inside of Columbia, and does she have some answers from the inside out to maybe troubleshoot some of the issues that you might have been going through. Y'all just stay with me. Getting ready to go to a short break, and on coming back on the other side, we're going to hop back into this topic today. What is a good distribution deal versus a bad distribution deal? You listen to Hip Hop National Radio conference call and feedback line. Stay with us.
Hold me to love tonight. know what you got, baby.
Maybach music.
Shawty sexy as she wanna be. Say she got a man, but her eyes say she wanted me. Shaking that in front of me. Ain't no point in playing, I could take it where you wanna be. Baby boy the man, and I never been a wannabe. On the California beach, Pauly out in Malibu. Whole nother tax bracket, $1 million attitude. Crib I could bowl in, women I control them. Lot of money in hell, hundreds I could blow them.
You standing over there, girl.
This is your record.
So remarkable, got every woman in the club looking real uncomfortable. Yeah, said she had a man, but I ain't give a damn. I just wanna get with you, girl. Said she wanted me, didn't wanna leave. Felt the same way about her.
Blankets is covering all of your memories. It's as easy as 1, 2, and 3. First, you pick your favorite photo, then select the product type that you would like. It may be a pillow, bag, or a blanket, just to name a few, but nothing starts moving until you pay your money, and then we'll send a finished view created just for you. Log on to www.fmblanket.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you may call 214-403-1524. That's 214-403-1524. Remember, Forever Memory Blankets is covering all of your memories in time. You heard it first right here on the Hip Hop National Radio conference call and feedback line.
Calling all music lovers, entertainers, and entertainment professionals. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. Pop, rock, R&B, and soul. Hip Hop National presents the Jammin' or Slammin' competition. Jammin' or Slammin' is one of the few competitions in the world where the recording artists are judged by an online interactive audience. That's right, the audience decides. Log on to hiphopnational.com and sign up now.
You cannot win if you don't get in.
So if you're ready, step your game up.
And get ready to win.
Get ready to win cash. That's right. That's right. Cash.
In other prizes.
So if you think you've got what it takes, then bring it to the Jam It or Slam It competition. Just sign on and sign up at hiphopnational.com.
The Jam It or Slam It competition must have a minimum of 25 competitors. If by any means canceled, all monies will be fully refunded.
Hey, it's T.I. here, man. take a minute and grab your cell phone. Scroll through all the names of your female friends. Go ahead. Do it now. I'll wait. Yeah, it's that important. Statistics show that one out of every three women are victims of domestic violence and abuse. That means that maybe your girl that you go skating with, your friend you met at the mall this weekend, your Sunday school teacher, your mama's best friend, or maybe even you are being emotionally, physically, or sexually abused. I know talking about domestic violence and abuse ain't sexy, but it is necessary. And fellas, I'm gonna keep it real, man. Domestic violence and abuse won't stop unless we say, not on my watch, and start protecting our women. That's why I'm supporting E. Walter Smith and his song Tenderness. The Tenderness campaign will teach you how to recognize 10 warning signs of domestic violence and abuse and how you can stop it at home, at work, and at play today. Log on to alittletenderness.com to find out how you can make a difference in someone's life, maybe even yours.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Conference Call and Feedback Line. This is Sean Deckel, the hookup man, filling in for Lady Di while she gets ready to get back on the line. We were just talking to Tish, and I think before we went out, Poetic had a question for Tish. I think the question was, give us a little insight on the distribution side that you worked for, since you worked for a major label and now you have your own distribution company, to kind of help our listeners weave through the pitfalls of trying to sign and get a distribution deal with some label.
Okay, well, my name is Taish Harris, and I would say definitely that as far as your guest is concerned, his issue predominantly is not a distribution issue. It's mostly, it sounds to me, because what the distributor does is the distributor takes the product that you give to them, and then they try to make it work for you. The marketing and the promotion, the PR, the advertising, all of those are components that the distributor is going to use to sell your product. I do have several questions for him because I think that we can kind of sort of pinpoint some of his issues outside of them just being predominantly monetary. But if that's okay with you in a few minutes. But as far as working at Sony Distribution is concerned, I actually started working there prior to Sony purchasing CBS Records. I worked there when it was CBS Records, and I was part of the transition when Sony, the company, and it became Music. And so I started at Sony Distribution as a college representative, and I was a national college rep, and I had accounts at both retail and radio across the country. Eventually, I went to work at Columbia Records, and I started the rap department at Columbia Records, and I ran it for 5 years. And in the process of running that department, and making that transition. In between, I also became what's called an ASR, or Associate Sales Representative, and I worked with both Columbia Records and Epic Records. You know, when you're working inside of a major distribution company as opposed to an independent distribution company, as your guest indicated, like night and day. You know, I think that the major labels are more like, you know, we used to call them like machines. You know, you can kind of put the product in and then you crank it out. In my particular case, when I ran the rap department at Columbia, I had artists like the Fugees and Nas and Cypress Hill and those type of up-and-coming acts that the system wasn't really interested in working with, similar to what he's dealing with. So our goal was to work the records from outside in, as opposed to knowing automatically like a Mariah or a Barbra Streisand or a Tony Bennett would get all the money and get all of the attention. From a distribution standpoint, it was very advantageous for me having worked in distribution because I was able to say, okay, I realize that similar to the gentleman that you have, your guest, that I'm going to have to, for example, work my Nas record I realized that even from a major label standpoint that we're working with a certain budget. So I'm only going to be able to attack maybe 5 markets initially. I'm including maybe a New York, maybe a Los Angeles, maybe a Chicago, maybe the Carolinas, you know, something like that that was more tangible, maybe somewhere in the mid-Atlantic, like a D.C. or a Virginia or a Baltimore. But the goal was to be able to get to these markets, realizing in advance that we were working with limited funds, but the company wasn't necessarily interested in the product out of the box. And we were going to have to, from a grassroots standpoint, get this project going and then bring the results back to the distribution arm of the company and get them somehow to get on board. Fortunately, you know, so when you start looking at the major labels, a lot of times people look at it, at the labels with rose-colored glasses. But just because you're signed to a major label or you are working with a major distributor doesn't mean that you're going to get all the attention that you kind of maybe think you will. You know, it really you're going to have to, if you're going to try at least and you do manage to get through the door, develop the relationship with a few people there who are going to be your champions and work you through the system. It's very similar to what you're dealing with on the outside with an independent distributor because, but I think it has its advantages. I'd be curious to know what your distributor had, what kind of advice your distributor gave you, because it sounds like you, I'm addressing the guest. What's your name, sir? Yeah.
Johnny Wesley is.
Okay. Mr. Wesley, it sounds like you spread yourself kind of thin. I'm just listening. I'm not judging. I'm just, you know, kind of just listening to what you have said. When you go, when you have 30 markets going on, and where is your group? Where are you from?
Columbus, Georgia.
Okay, Columbus, so if you're in Columbus. All right, so you're in Columbus, Georgia. So if you're starting out in Columbus, I'd be curious to know, like, when you had that conversation with your distributor and you really started to get your radio play going, you went and sat down with your distributor and said, listen, we're starting to get this thing going. You know, I'd like for you guys to follow what I'm doing out here. You know, what did the distributor say to you, and how did you determine that you were going to do 30 markets as opposed to maybe 6 or 7 in the surrounding areas and then visit those areas and then spread from there? Well, how did you make that determination?
Exactly. Well, what it basically came down to when I first talked to the distributor, of course, he wanted to know what kind of budget we had. Okay, depending on the budget, that can kind of tell you what you can do and what you can. So at this time, I told him, I said, well, I have an investor that's about to get $1.2 million. Okay, once his lawyer gets the third, my investor is going to end up with about $800,000 to $900,000. So that's more than enough money for us to go national. So if I had knew that my investor wasn't going to get the 1.2, which he still might get to 1.2, but the thing is, timing is everything. Okay, so he hasn't got the 1.2 yet, so that's not helping us when we're at 7 to 8 stations. So what I basically said was, when I told him that I had an investor, is basically you might as well say about to be a millionaire. He said, oh, of course, you know, you got that kind of money, we can do whatever we need to do. Let's run it. So. What I did was I said, well, I told my investor, look, you know, pretty much, you know, I'm at the point where, you know, I'm working the record and I'm about 7 to 8 stations. Okay, now I'm finna lock in with the distributor. Okay, we're gonna send it out to all the stations, you know, 1 to 2 copies, mail outs, and also email blasted to all the program directors, whatever that system is that he has, to where he can send it straight to the program directors. And then we're going to sit back and see who want to play ball. Okay, once we're looking, you know, I'm getting my card every Monday. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we got 4 spins starting off. Okay, the next week, the people that was giving us 4 spins, now we're getting 9 spins. Okay, the third week, the people that was giving us 9, we're looking at Greenwood, Mississippi. We're getting 30 spins a week. Okay, it's the number one most requested song.
we need to be going there. You know, somebody, we need to be going there, passing out stuff, going to the radio station. When the investor didn't come through, a lot of things that we needed to do, like to travel to the, these some of these cities that her song was considered a hit, we wasn't able to do when the investor didn't come through. So,
okay, so what markets did you go to? Which markets did you travel to?
At that time, I wasn't, when the investor didn't come through, I wasn't able to go there.
Wow.
It killed us. Yeah, exactly. It killed us. So it was like a hit. It's like every day the distributor is calling me like, oh, man, we're getting radio play here. Oh, man, he's excited. Because basically he got a hit on his hand. And, you know, just hits just don't come along every day for some independent distributors. Yeah, major labels, yeah, they might have hits often, but. So he had a hit on his hand, and it wasn't an R&B hit, it was a rap hit. So he was very excited because he had heard the album, because the album, you know, was already done. So he heard the follow-up, he heard the album, he know what my artist looked like. You know, he's involved now, so he pretty much know. Wow. He got some on his hand. So, if I had knew my investor wasn't going to come through, I never would have said, let's go national. I would have been like, you know, let's work Georgia, Florida, Alabama. You know, I'm not going to go out of my means somewhere that I can drive to and promote, drive to the station, do interviews, some of the things that I need to do. That's kind of where we at. So when he was talking to me, he said, well, look, man, you know, Hot 97 is calling. You know, they just played the record up there in the Battle of the Beach. They want to know, of course, what y'all want to do. And I was like, what you mean what we want to do? And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, he said, yeah, you know, we need to, you know, spend some advertisement dollars, run some 30-second commercials, so, you know, the music, you know, the song is in there, and then, you know, kind of go from there, and then see, once we spend some money with Hot 97 V103, let's see what 105.7 in Montgomery is going to do. Let's see what they're going to do in Miami. Let's see what they're going to do in Texas. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, throw the ball and sit back for a second. That's kind of where we was, but we wasn't able to do that. We wasn't able to run the 30-second commercials and hit the major market. So basically, he said to me, well, when they call, you know, basically, you know, I just let them know that, you know, the label is not interested in spending any advertisement dollars on the record at this time. And that's kind of where, you know, so after a certain period of time, no advertisement dollars and the P3s and the P2s, see the P1s not picking up and the P1s, see the P3s and the P2s starting there, and then it kind of floats away. But that's kind of what happened. So now we had
I'm a very big advocate of, of taking an artist and putting the artist in a van and driving the artist, you know, however far I can get to, whether, for example, we're in New York, you know, I have no problem with driving to Boston, I have no problem with driving through the Carolinas, I have no problem with driving through D.C. to Baltimore. I mean, wherever you need to go, like, you need to just go.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing now. Like, it's just,
I mean,
like,
you
okay,
know.
You know, it's halftime, you know, I love the Lakers, it's halftime, and I'm Phil Jackson, and I'm talking to Kobe, which is my artist, and I'm like, hey, look, we down 20, you know, we Sal ain't really, you know, doing his thing today, biting, you know, struggling a little bit. We need to come up with another game plan. So now that's the game plan is what you're saying. We came up with another version of the song, which is now called P-Pop. I can't say what it's actually called, but for the radio, it's called P-Pop. Okay, so now we got a more hardcore version. We didn't shoot the video for the first version because of the investor. You know what I'm saying? So now we got a video, which is on YouTube, man. We're about to drop on World Star Hip Hop, I think November the 11th is the date that we're looking for. And now we're starting to leak to some of the DJs. We're starting to get radio play of that song locally, I think, in Dothan. You know, I haven't sent any packages out to the radio stations quite yet. We're starting to hit the strip clubs because it is like a strip club banger. And that's kind of what you're saying now. We're starting to get booked for shows off
well,
the song.
Well, I think that what you're basically saying is for your phase two plan, for your phase two of your game plan, what you're basically saying is that you made a lot of mistakes in phase one. You learn from them, and phase two, you're going to try to straighten some of those out and move forward.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Some alternatives that
I'm not
going to
give up.
You don't want to give up, but you definitely want to come up with a game plan and come up with a budget. and right. actually sit down and write it out so that you're real clear. And unless the money is in the bank, it ain't happening. Until I see it in my hand, nobody moves, not from that standpoint. And if you have, I think you said, like, you get $1,500 or something like that, $1,500 is enough to at least sit down, and I don't know what your other expenses are, but however you decide to chop it up, you can get on the road to a certain extent. I mean, if you're in Columbus, for example, there's certain areas that you can at least get to get that exposure for your artist. And the other thing is that there's other alternatives. Like, I work with an artist. She's from India. She lives here in the United States. She never has to even go outside of her fan base, which is in the Indian market, but she does, and she's increased her fan base tremendously through social media. But in addition to that, this woman makes the majority of her money not necessarily off of focusing predominantly on record sales, but on licensing her music.
Mm-hmm.
So you indicated that your artist is a writer. That may be something that you want to sit down and talk to your distributor about. Ask your distributor about licensing.
Well, we already did that. I can't think of what the company is called, what is it called? And we just licensed the one song, basically the one that went out. And if they could put it up in Applebee's, Foot Locker, places like that. So we did do that.
Okay.
I just can't
so
think
you,
of
it. Well, you didn't mention that, so that's why I brought it up. But I think it's good for the audience to hear that Poetic because, you know, when you're dealing with the independency, when you go into the majors, you're going to have to get to a certain point before the distribution company will have even time to sit down with you as a smaller, up-and-coming, maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't make it act or artist or group.
Okay, I know what the company's called.
Let me just finish telling you one thing. But from an independent distribution company, you have the advantage of sitting down with the distributor and actually mapping out a game plan like you have. So I think it's very advantageous as long as you have all your ducks in a row.
Right.
I want to say this, though. He raised some valid points. He didn't have the commercial budget. The promotional budget where he was talking about and running the 30-second commercial. See, that's the thing what we're trying to actually embed into our listeners because we have a lot of a massive listening audience of up-and-coming artists who want to get into this business. But a lot of them don't have that experience that you both have spoke well on as far as the topic is tonight. What is a good distribution deal? What is a bad distribution deal? But, I mean, very awesome information that you guys have given us all, and that's including myself, because I haven't really gotten to that level. But this program is devised so that we can get this information and understand this information and know what it takes to put a record on and keep that record going. Like you said, that campaign and that radio campaign that you didn't have, that's what we're trying to get them to understand, that it takes a radio campaign to move your product. That's why you're supposed to support your product. Get as much information out to your fans so they can keep putting that information out and make you a bigger artist. Am I correct? Do you agree with that or not?
Well, this is Taish. What I'll say is that, you know, it really depends on the artist. There's some artists that absolutely – you know, radio is very important and crucial to their project. There's just some artists, whether they're domestic or international, coming into the country. If they fit a certain format, the most crucial way to reach that audience out of the box will definitely be to go to radio. However, there are many artists that may not necessarily fit into that mold phase one, and you can find alternative ways to expose the artist to the audience and really start to gain your fan base. And then eventually, if you feel like you want to go to radio, maybe it may be college, maybe it may be internet, maybe it may be online, you just decide on where you want to go before you get there. It's like a destination. You know, you don't just get on the road and start driving and then figure out that you ran out of gas and you got a flat tire and you can't fill up your gas tank and you have no way of getting to the latest, to the you're calling AAA. You know, you want to map out where you're going and kind of see, you know, down the line, I'm going to make it from Columbus, Georgia to blah, blah, blah. So I think it really does vary from project to project as far as radio is concerned.
I agree.
Now, he said, he also said something about not having, by him not having that promotional budget, it limits where he was able to put out his music. He was distributing, I'm going to say he had music out, you had it playing on the radio, but you say you wasn't able to get there because of the promotional dollars to support it. It's getting bigger. In other words, the product is getting bigger than what your money is allowing you to put a promotional campaign by. My question is, did you put the cart before the horse?
You count chickens before the hats?
Yeah.
In other words, instead of waiting on my investor to give me the $100,000 to $300,000. And put it in the bank and then go from there. Yeah, well, what kind of happened? See, when like right now, if I email a song to you, right?
Okay. And I'm expecting you to do that because I'm really interested in that record.
Right, and I email it to you, and you're like, oh, it's hot, it's a hit. Okay, and you know DJs too. Okay, so you might be a club DJ, but you know some radio DJs, or you're a radio DJ that know. So, you know, when you email blast or you send something to somebody, it's gone. Okay, so when I send it to the DJs in my city, they heard it. Oh, it's a hit. So next thing I know, it's like a frog jumping from lily pad to lily pad. Next thing I know, hey, look, man, we send it over to Dothan, my man in Dothan playing it. Hey, my man in Dothan is sending it over here to Macon. And somebody in Macon done sent it to Valdosta. Next thing I know, I'm on 7 or 8 stations. You know, and my investor ain't got his money. But, see, my whole thing, I got a little money. So I'm like, well, look, it's on 7 or 8 stations. Somebody just called me about distribution. I'm finna go ahead and take my money and do what I need to do to get it, you know, moving. And then, you know, at that time, then you come in and you give me all what, you know, I didn't put into it at this point, and go ahead and drop a couple $100,000 off in the account. We keep this thing moving. So, I mean, I'm on 7 or 8 stations. Should I just, you know, just walk away from it and say, nah, we don't want no distribution at this time? I mean, I'm like, nah, I'm going for it. I mean, I'm Kobe in the paint. I'm going in the dark. I'm trying to win. You know, it's 5 seconds left on the clock. I'm finna shoot. So, you know, I mean, because I've been in the game a long time, and this, you know, so I had a high artist. I went for it. Am I upset? Am I mad? Now, I spent about $50,000. You know, on this project. Am I upset? No, I'm still pushing. Because I don't know. I know people that done lost millions. So, you know, I feel like I said, with God, faith, now, all of a sudden now, like, boom, I you know, because I stay online. Oh, next thing I know, ATL Web Radio. I don't know how they got my number, whatever they call me. Hey, man, we heard the record is hot. Send it to us. Okay, so I send it to them. That's the internet station. Next thing I know, they hit me back like, hey, she like number 10 out of the top 50 artists. They, you know, so look, do you have Sound Exchange? Oh, yes, we do. Do you have ASCAP? Oh, yes, we do. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm pushing, you know, internet, club, radio, whoever want to play it, play it. Because ASCAP, love them to death. I love when them checks come in. Sound Exchange, too. So, you know, I'm going to keep email blasting. I'm going to keep hard copying. We going to keep doing. So even though she went national, you know, she on the front of a lot of magazines. We just, anything that come our way, we're not going to say no to it as long as it's positive. So if a DJ tell me he's works at a station in Tallahassee, Florida, sending the song he want to play it, I'm not finna tell him no. What's your email? It's gone. You know? Because at the end of the day, if he playing it,
the royalties, it's you know, it's adding up. Them, you know, 4, 5 cents, now a 9 cent or whatever it is. I think it's 9 cent now, or something like that. It's time. Spin it.
I think it's 9.5.
Okay, see what I'm saying? Spin it. I want the 9.5. And if it get hot, hey, call me. We coming to perform. I do it for the low low. Look at here. We ain't greedy. Long as it's the gas to get them back, motel room, a little something on the side to eat, and we look. As long as we take home about 250, 500, I take that. Come on, artist, they ain't getting out there. So, you know, it's different situations, different things. It's just how it comes to me. But you know, like I said, God is good, man. Like I'm telling her, you know, it's some people that wish they could get a distribution deal. It's some people that wish they could be on 40 stations. It's some people in our hometown that can't get no radio play. So I told her, look at where you at. You know, it's God is good. I don't know what more to tell her. You know, I know now, you know, you ain't getting $100,000 a show, you know, like Nicki Minaj or that. But, you know, at one time, Nicki Minaj wasn't getting $100,000 a show. So, you know, maybe it's not quite your time yet. You know that angel ain't been sick. And fly you away and take you where you need to, but it's there, you know. Like I said, blessings don't come when you want them to come, you know. So, yeah.
But you know what? You make a valid good point there, man. But I'm gonna tell you something. See, God, you got to look at God's job. God got millions and millions of people to deal with, and for us, don't get me wrong. No man has lived a day with God. So we're living in the seconds, in milliseconds of his time. Mm-hmm. So when we ask for God to help us on a project or whatever, that don't mean he ain't, just because he didn't ask immediately in your time, that means
exactly.
That don't mean he's not on time, because of the fact that it may just take one few seconds for him to just turn to you and say, okay, I got a second for you, boom, and that's what you got from his time. And that may be a couple years in your time. Because
I'm a 100% disabled veteran. I went to Iraq in 91. And
wait,
five
you know
years,
what,
I
Johnny,
walk.
Johnny,
five
if
years,
we could stay
walk.
On time, Johnny,
I'm
Johnny
walking.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Johnny, when we come back from the break, I want you to be locked and loaded with what you're about to tell them, because that's important.
Okay.
I just want to take a short break because to keep on our schedule, because we've marketed Hip Hop National to be a full fledged station. So we just want to do the right thing. We gotta pay some bills. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio Conference Call and Feedback Line. Y'all stay with us. On the other side of the break, we with Johnny Wesley and Taish Harris. Did I say that correct, Taish?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay, Taish Harris. And when we come back, y'all definitely keep it locked and loaded on Hip Hop National Radio. We are loaded tonight. We're talking about what is a good distribution deal versus a bad distribution deal. And we'll be back on the other side. You're about to listen to coming up is Timberland Steelman. You listen to Hip Hop National Radio Conference Call and Feedback Line.
Calling all music lovers, entertainers, and entertainment professionals. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. Pop, rock, R&B, and soul. Hip Hop National presents the Jammin' or Slammin' competition. Jammin' and Slammin' is one of the few competitions in the world where the recording artists are judged by an online interactive audience. That's right, the audience decides. Log on to hiphopnational.com and sign up now.
You cannot win if you don't get in.
So if you're ready, step your game up.
And get ready to win.
Get ready to win cash. That's right. That's right. Cash.
And other prizes.
So if you think you've got what it takes, then bring it to the Jam It or Slam It competition. Just sign on and sign up at hiphopnational.com.
The Jam It Slam It competition must have a minimum of 25 competitors. If by any means canceled, all monies will be fully refunded.
Hey, this is E. Walter Smith, founder of the Tenderness Campaign. And when I want to find out what's hot in hip-hop and the business of music, I log on to Hip Hop National Radio to get the latest from the Dream Team, Myra Morris, Poetic, Lady Di, Pebbles, and the Hookup Man, Sean D.
I know it's been a long time, and you haven't heard from me in a while. And I'm so ashamed and so afraid. Lord, I need you when I'm stuck in my way. Don't make me cry. I can't say forgive me.
I'm worthy
of anything from you.
I feel like someone in my own shoes.
I've been to this place before, and I can't take it no more.
I need to feel me.
Feel me, Lord, feel me.
Back to Hip Hop National Conference Call and Feedback Line. You were just listening to Feel Me by Timberland. She's part of the Tenderness Campaign, Artists Against Domestic Violence. We're talking about what is the difference between a good and a bad distribution deal. I'm going to throw it back to Poetic so he can finish his question up with Johnny Wesley. Poetic?
I had a hiccup. What's up, buddy?
Yes, I wanted to throw that question back to Johnny Wesley. He was about to finish up his follow-up question.
Johnny Wesley, as you were saying just before we were going to the break, you were about to tell us about you being, a vet military and your experience there and where you at now. If you would please tell our listening audience what you had. You know,
one second, Johnny. Hey, Poetic, one second before you do that. I think we have one of the artists that had performed this on this on the station today. Do you have Timberland's line open?
Her line is open. Her line is open. We're going to announce her in a minute.
Timberland, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm great. Hi, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the young lady whose song you just heard. It's called Feel Me. It's part of the Tenderness campaign.
Love
yes,
it.
Sir.
Thank you.
Beautiful
song.
How's
everybody doing?
Beautiful song.
Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, sometimes at Blog Talk, you have a little technical difficulties. The wave was not as clear as I heard the song myself, but it definitely was. Sometimes it's the board. I don't know what's the problem. Got to talk with them about it, but the wave just wasn't as clear as I heard it earlier. But it was an excellent song, so that's a very beautiful song.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, when you're doing a great job, you're doing a great job. So we're going to get back into it. You stay with us. Definitely keep it locked and loaded. We may have some questions for you coming up. Johnny, if you would, man, go ahead and tell us what you was about to tell us.
We was talking about faith and not give, basically, I'm saying don't give up on your dreams, one time I was an artist myself, and I got a little sick from being in the military, and wasn't able to walk one day. So for about 5 years, I wasn't able to walk. So, like I said, God is good, and I'm walking. So, I basically, when I was talking to my female artist, and she was a little disappointed of kind of, the investor not coming through and kind of how things were. I said, well, look, I used look, it's like halftime, and we're down by 20 points. I'm Phil Jackson. You told me. You got to have faith. Anything is possible. You can't give up on your dreams. Maybe it just wasn't your time quite yet. But a lot of nothing negative came out of this situation. Because like I'm telling us, your fan base has changed. You got to think you were local. Then you was on 7 to 8 stations. And then you was on about 40-something stations. And then I told her, even though they only played your song in the Battle of the Beats, they still played it on Hot 97. I mean, so, at that time when they played that, it might have been 1 million people that heard your song. So your fan base has really changed. Your life has changed. I mean, at one time you was getting paid for shows. Now you're getting paid for shows. You got people calling you to come and be special guests, at showcases. At one time, we were paying to be in showcases. I mean, you just got to see that the things, positive things are going on. Some of the things that's going on, it's a lot of the things that's going on you probably would have to pay for. You don't, like that showcase, normally you might have to pay to get in that showcase. They inviting you. To come to showcase free. So, that to me, like I'm telling, that's a blessing. Believe me, I've been around a long time, so you got to look at the positive things. So things went on and went on. I said, look, you just got somebody to shoot your whole video for free. And you got two versions of it. You got a movie version and you got another version for free. Now, I mean, that's why I said sometimes when you're talented and you hot, producers will be like, hey, look, let me give you some tracks. because they're looking at like you're a hot artist and you're rapping on their tracks, you might make it. So when you hot, you hot. It's just, it's nothing about it. You're a star. And that's why I told her, you got it. People see that. And that's why a lot of things, truthfully, and then you're not ugly. You're a very beautiful woman. So that helps too, So you got to look at all the positive things. And she was down for a little while, and next thing the phone started to ring, and I'm faxing over this contract. That's a show. I'm faxing over this contract, and you got another show. And then as the money starts coming in, and then now we shot the video. The video was supposed to drop on the 10th.
you know, the guy wasn't finished editing. You know, she was a little upset like that. But I told her, I said, you know, that's life. You know, a lot of deadlines don't always get made. You know, that's just how it is. I mean, Rick Ross' album might supposed to come out on this date, but they got to push it back. I mean, that happens all the time. That's just the business. So, you know, I'm educating my artists, teaching her things. You know, from day one, I'm always talking to her, ASCAP, you know, BMI, Sound Exchange, CSAC, just anything. I'm just always, because she, you know, she is the CEO of her own label. So, you know, it's like a Cash Money, Young Money type of situation with her. You know, it's DGF / Flipping Flavor. When, you know, you look down on the charts or anything, that's what you see. It's like a male CEO and a female CEO out of Columbus, Georgia. That's what the press release kind of said, is has teamed up to calculate and put out talent, because if this investor had it came through, we got a line of people behind us. We had four little girls called Sisters at Heart that was supposed to come out next. They rap and sing. Then we had another artist called Casper. We had 2C. We had SS Lethal, missing somebody, and an R&B artist, Reggie B. So, you know, we had, like, line for the talent, and which also the distributor knew about our line of talent, because I sent him 3 songs, a photo, and a bio, so he would know about our other artists, because we wanted to run them right to the distributor. You know, so, you know, we still got all those people around us. Like I told you might have to take one for the team. She looked at me puzzled. I said, well, Ludacris signed with Def Jam, and then he started DTP. Nelly started with signed with Universal, and then boom. You know, 50 Cent signed with, I guess, Dr. Dre, and then boom, he started G-Unit. You know, you might have to sign with, so you might have to take one for the team. Somebody come along and want to sign, you might have to go ahead and sign with them and give them that big percentage and give them that first album or work something out so they can go ahead and get you out there and get the big marketing dollars and put you where you need to be. And hey, they footing the bill for a lot of stuff. You can't complain about that because they're putting you somewhere where you wasn't. So, you know, if someone like that comes along, you might have to make that move, you know, send the contract over to the lawyer. We got 2 lawyers, Carl Washington, which helps Mr. College Park, DJ Smurf. I think he's like a part owner of that label now. I know him from way back. I deal with him on big contracts. Then we have another lawyer, Anthony Daniels. So either one of them, if any major label, anybody that can take you to the next level comes along, you know, you might have to have a contract looked over, and it might be in your best interest if the contract is right, if the percentage is everything right, and they ain't trying to kill you on the publishing. You might need to go ahead and sign it.
Let me ask Taish that. Taish, your opinion of that, with your experience behind that, for you to give up what he's saying as making a sacrifice so you can get a couple steps ahead, you think, would you recommend, pursuing your music on that quest to get into this business, to kind of give up something so you can get something?
Well, I think that with anything, you're going to have to give up something to get something, certainly. But it has to make sense. You know, one of the things that he learned from the investor standpoint, I'm sure they went through a negotiation where the investor turned around and said, okay, I will be taking X, Y, and Z percentage for X, Y, and Z, you know, amount of dollars, and then they probably negotiated out points, et cetera, you know, and how he'd be repaid, you know, what his involvement would be, and so on and so forth. When it comes down to making a decision about giving up your publishing and or certain rights and so on and so forth, you really, you know, I'm sure, again, he sounds like he's really learned a lot from phase one and probably phase two of his campaign, so he can make these decisions in a way that he can now look back at his experience and say, you know, this makes sense or this doesn't make sense in an more educated manner. But, you know, for your listeners, I would say just think about it. Take a couple of steps back. I mean, I'll never forget years ago, I worked with a young man. He's a Dominican rapper. He was incredible from Harlem. And I just thought that, you know, he was able to go to the studio, he was able to produce his own tracks. He was from A to Z. Problem is that he did not want to give up anything, and he wanted everything. So somewhere in there, you know, you want to definitely do your homework. You want to figure out, does this deal make sense for me? And then, you know, the point is that even if I said his name anywhere, no one would know because he never got anywhere because he felt like he had everything. He had the whole, you know, he could do it, and he never did. There's a trillion people out there who feel they should be T.I., they should be Jennifer Lopez, they should be all of these people, and they know how to write and they know how to sing, but they don't know the business of entertainment. So they never make it. Nobody cares that you really that you can sing and that you can write. That's great. There's a billion people who can do it.
I have to agree with that. I have to agree with that. There's so many artists out there. What makes, to be honest with you, what makes one artist different from the other is the being able to be humble and being willing to learn. And because if you're not humble enough, you got an ego on your shoulder and you just think you're just hot. And you're not willing to learn what it takes to be in this business. You're gonna you're gonna learn a hard lesson.
That's right.
So I have to totally
agree
with that.
So I would say, so at the end of the day, I say yes. Sacrifice. If you have to give up something, make sure it makes sense.
Yeah, and you were talking about alternative incomes before, and earlier, Johnny, you had mentioned something about your stuff being played in other places like. I don't remember if you said Starbucks, but you
Greenwood, Mississippi, she was getting 30 spins a week, and Hooks, Texas, she was getting 30 spins.
No, I'm talking about outside of radio. You were speaking about it being played in other places, such as elevators. Elevators.
The company, the distributors, like I said, me and the distributor, man, we were like the best of friends. I felt really comfortable. Every other day, we was talking, going over this, going over that. Actually, it was his idea to put the video, the little promo video on the CD. So when they buy the EP and it gets sent to them, online or buy it in the store, they could load it into the PlayStation, Wii, a computer and watch it, which was a good idea. So we put that on there. But the company is called DMX, like the rapper. And the distributor had called me and told me, about the licensing and, sent the contract to me. And basically, what I did was I just went online and Googled DMX. And I went on their site, and when I saw that actually was the first company to come up with this idea. And I think how they do it is they put your music on a CD or some kind of way, or, and they send it to, they have a contract with these Applebee's and Foot Lockers and all these places. And I guess these companies, from what I was reading, they pay for the music in some kind of way or another, and you get royalties from that. So he asked me, did I want to do that? And of course, I said yes. So we licensed just that one song, the one that went national. The other thing was, I can't think of the way you send your music to the cable company. I can't think of what it's called. And basically where you're watching or where you're on TV and you click to a certain channel and it's just playing music. I can't
music
think of
choice.
Choice. Yes, that's it. Music Choice, he's like, hey, I'm going to send it over to Music Choice, and, I got the okay on that. He asked me, do you want to do that? So anything, positive, he's trying to sell records. So anything, any way to put the record in places where people can hear it, that's what he was doing. And I was thumbs up on everything because, like I said, I hadn't did music for 5 years because I wasn't able to walk. So when I came back in like 2006, I started walking. I didn't know how to email. An artist, a good friend of mine, Bo Hagen, that used to be signed with BME, went on the road with him for probably about six cities.
and he showed me how to email in 2007. So I slowly, you know, I pick up fast. He showed me something one time. So, you know, now I'm doing email blasts, and, you know, I'm doing a little bit of everything. I'm running Facebook pages, Twitter, Reverb, pretty much for my artists. You know, I do all that. So that's why, you know, I tell people, there, well, how can I get in contact with you? You get in contact with me through my artists. You know, I give them her Twitter, her Facebook, all that, because that's where I'm at all day, every day. It's on there. So, yeah, all that. DMX is the name of the company.
You sound like an excellent manager, excellent partner to be with, man. Because you're hungry, your drive is definitely you within your drive. You show up. A whole bunch of commitment, and actually that's what it takes. It takes to have somebody, a good support team, a good support staff, who's a member that really believes in your project. And
well, I'm living my dream through my artists. That's what it is. I'm living my dream because, like I said, I was an artist about to come out with an album, in distribution, and was at that point, and went to get out of the bed. Like I said, I couldn't walk, so my album. That I have online now, and I'm still making money on CD Baby that I put out in 1997. I'm still making money off of. I'm living my dream through her now. So when I see her being successful, I see her on shows, I see her doing interviews. You know, anything that I see, you know, I coach her. Like, no, you know, you can't say this or don't say this or just any little pointers from the. Sometimes when she do conversations with DJs on the line or she's live, just anything that I see, I try to touch on her. You know, when I first started with her, she used to cuff the mic. And I told her, no, because it's going to give you a muffled sound. You know, you got to put your hand up under the ball, you know, and kind of hold it away from your mouth a little, because you want to get that clear, raw, uncut sound. And when you got your hand over the mic and all that, you know, that's you want them to hear you. So just any little point or anything I could give her, basically I found a female and made her a female me, you know, and I'm pushing her. Anything I know, I'm teaching her, so, and she's been, like you said, believe it or not, that when you said that, in the background, you probably heard me say, her personality, she's a sweetie pie. And like I told her, you not believe it or not, but your personality and being humble has got you a lot of places too, because when you go do interviews with these DJs, they can tell that you're not fake, you're not putting on an act. People can tell the difference between real and fake. You know, they've been in the game a long time. So when they're talking to you and you're doing interviews and you're being real and you're being humble and they see that in you, basically they see God and you're a godly person. You know, you eventually, it's just going to happen for you. It's just a matter of time. Only thing you got to do is keep negative people from around you, and that's what I'm here for. Because I could talk to a person within 2 to 3 minutes. I could tell, then nah, we don't need to deal with that person. You know, we don't even need to call them. They you know, they're not right. They're not in our best interest or your best interest. So, you know, just got to push, man, you know, and believe in what you're doing. But I tell anybody, I have artists run up on me all the time, every day now. And I'm pretty sure anybody that's kind of any type of success or successful, they get the same thing. But I tell them, a hit is a hit and BS is BS. Like, real talk, dog, you know, you might be straight, your song okay for you know, locally. But when you're talking about nationally and competing with Jay-Z and people like that, man, you got to have a hit, dog. You ain't got no hit, I can't do nothing for you. For real, it's a waste of time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't make no money here and there and do some shows and stuff, but that ain't what I'm trying to do. I done been there and done that. I'm trying to be on MTV, BET, and see my artists giving awards, and I'm on the front of the magazines because I've done something that nobody has been able to do in about 10 years. It's put a hot female rap artist out of the South. They got one up north. They done did that. That's done. That's Nicki Minaj. That you want to say that's the new queen of New York. Not to take anything from Lil' Kim, but you know, just like when Michael Jordan left and Kobe stepped in, when Kobe leaves and somebody else stepped in, you know, it's time for somebody to step in and, to me, replace Trina. But Trina kind of held it down for a long time. I don't think nobody really has had more success than Trina in the South. So I'm ready for my artist to step in and take me, the Queen of the South. And she says that in the interview, she's the Queen of the South. Matter of fact, the song comes on, the DJ introduces the video saying she's the Queen of the South. So we're going to just take that title. We don't care if she's been in the game 2, 5, 6, 20 years. She's coming in with the title. You know, and it's not that she's being cocky and not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but all women are queens, and all men are kings. So
and all of them are entitled.
Don't get offended.
And they are entitled to have that title.
Exactly.
They are entitled to have that title as well. You can't just, you know, don't get me wrong, if you can come in there and sweep it up, then it's just like, royalty exchange into royalty, as far as I can see it. While we, you know, we got it locked and loaded, I'm going to welcome a guest that's a phenomenal guest who's always here to support us. That's Mr. Mike Neely. Big Mike, what's up, brother? How you doing? You wanted to talk in on tonight's topic, what is a good distribution deal versus a bad distribution deal? How you doing, sir?
How you doing, Poetic? How you doing, everybody? My name
tell
is Mike.
Tell me who you are, man, what you do, and how you get down.
Okay. My name is Mike Neely, and I represent a few celebrities and UFC fighters of all kinds. I also run a radio coalition of 22 radio stations, do management, book, artist development, and I was just offered a GM for record label. The difference between a good deal and a bad deal is when you sign something, as I say, and you're just signing because of the name. You're not signing what they offer. I think the problem with the artist that had a bad deal, distribution deal, where he had to pay for the distribution. And to me, that was a bad deal because it cost him more to pay for his product than it is for them to put it out. A good deal is when you see money coming back. A lot of record labels would charge a $10 CD and give you a dollar, and they make $8 off of it. But that's a bad deal to me. It should be the other way around. They get the dollar, and you make the $8 off of it. So I tell everybody they got to read it and don't sign record deals and label agreements if you don't know what you're looking at, because they will tell you, they'll do an underlying clause where you'll sign away a deal and you're not making money. And it's happened because you got to look at it. When you sign a label deal, that label paid for your video, your production, everything. They're going to want their money back.
Yeah, Mike, I'm here. This is the hookup, man. This is Sean. Yeah, I think hey. Poetic is in the background just filling in. But, yeah, thanks, Mike, for that word to everybody. Poetic, are you back online?
Yeah, I just came back on, man. The board, I switched off because it's pouring down raining here, and I know you guys can hear that bleeding over, so I just didn't want to bleed over him. But when I tried to switch back.
I understand. No, we understand that. You handle the technical part of that over there, too. You're doing a good job. Hey, Mike, Poetic, are there any other hands up on the lines or any other lines
I wanted to go to, I definitely wanted to get Timberland's experience and tell – I want her to tell us a little bit more about what she's doing with this tenderness campaign and how it's benefiting her. And is there any approximate deal coming out of it for her as far as distribution? Just my question. Timberland, you now have the floor.
Okay. As far as the tenderness campaign, as of right now, I'm really volunteering my services, and in doing that, because he really does appreciate my part of the project. I guess you could say I'm getting some promotion, but we haven't discussed anything as far as any distribution deals are concerned. I think that the campaign is a beautiful campaign. I'm honored to be a part of. I'm very honored. My mom has a shelter for battered and abused women and children, so when I found out about what he was doing, I was like, I love that you want me to be a part of that because it's blessed. You know, a lot of people aren't really doing things to better other people, and Mr. Smith's heart really is in the right place, and I'm just happy to be a part of that.
In light of what he's doing, he's on to something great because really he's touching a sensitive note that most people need to hear about you know, battered and abused as far as women is concerned. And
right.
That's a blessing in that for you anyway. As far as the distribution deal and stuff like that, I think that's going to come because he's about to make some major noise with what he's doing. Love to have him part of our thing. So we're definitely going to keep supporting him on our behalf. Just wanted to say that. I wanted to hear your take with what we were going with it with you. Stay with us, okay, Timberland?
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We want to get back to Thais.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can. It can now. Actually, it is the board that's dragging, guys. Just to let you know. We got Big Mike on. He's definitely a regular on our show. He comes through a lot to support many, many topics that we have as regarding this business of music. I wanted you guys to touch bases and meet. So, Thais Harris, meet Big Mike. So, y'all
nice
definitely
to meet you, Big Mike.
Stop it up.
How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. If you need anything from me, just give me a holler.
Oh, that sounds great. We'll definitely have to exchange information afterwards.
Okay, we definitely. I'll put that together for you guys because, as you know, what we don't want to do is put that out on the air. We definitely do it behind the scenes. Anybody want to make some connections here, we definitely put it together behind the scenes. All you have to do is call Hip Hop National at 877-580-8555. We will be putting. They will be giving you contact information as far as their email addresses and phone numbers. So if you ambitious enough, definitely reach out to them for that. But tonight's topic, as we were talking about, is what is a good distribution deal versus a bad distribution deal. It's been a good journey here tonight. What we've learned from Johnny has laid it out in detail of what he's experienced in his distribution deal, and I want to appreciate him for that. We're coming up on our round robin where everybody tells a little bit about themselves, what they do, and how they can get in contact with them minus the phone number. So with that said, Sean got something to tell y'all about our Jamming and Slamming competition. Sean, if you would, please tell them about the Jamming and Slamming competition, how they can get involved, and what's happening next week as far as the Women's Week.
All right. Thanks, Poetic. Well, you guys know we have a series called Slam It or Jam It. That's when the artist gets to submit their music and have a chance to win a cash and prizes worth about $2,500. The submission is through the hiphopnational.com website. You go to that website, you hit the page button or the tab button that says Jam It or Slam It. You register your music. And this weekend, me and Poetic have talked. We're doing a weekend special where the submission is only $9.99 at this point. That will be until midnight Monday. Midnight this
Excellent.
Coming Monday.
Excellent.
Say again, Poetic. Did I miss something?
Oh, I said excellent.
I'm sorry.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and the Slam and the Jam is an online American Idol. The audience determines who wins and who goes on to the next round. So the goal is to get as many of your people that support you on as possible. We had an artist on last week that wasn't even part of the Jammin' or Slammin'. We just played his music, and he had, you know, within a half an hour, he had 20 of his people calling in and lines lit up. We had the most lines lit up in, you know, in about a month now on that one call. So, you know, we encourage all artists, you know, to submit, get their music heard. There are industry people on at that time that are listening for artists. It becomes a better atmosphere for that industry person, so they're not sitting in front of somebody or in a room with your mom and your dad and everybody pressuring them. They can get on their phone line or on their call, listen to that artist, and determine if that's someone they want to listen to or deal with. So, and like me and Poetic Talk and some of the other people at the station talk, it only takes one person really to hear what you're doing and like it and get behind you and put you on for you to make it. So you're really only one person away from your success at any point in life. So that could be your chance to get on. So I advise everybody to take advantage of this weekend. We'll either do the make it or break it, depending on how many people sign up this weekend, either Tuesday or the following Monday, because next week is our Women's Week.
So what is it that we said we were going to be doing?
Say again, sir?
What did you say we were going to be doing? The Jam It or Slam It.
The Jam It or Slam It?
Yeah. I just wanted to correct it, man, so they get it.
Oh, my
bad. Correct.
Did I say it? Hey, I'm used to old school radio. Yeah, I've been in Atlanta too long, so I know I got that in my head, and you getting me corrected on that. I used to be around the station all day listening to that, so my bad. Jam It or Slam It. Yes, sir.
I think they
can
do that,
yeah.
Too.
I'm glad you picked that up, but I advise, like I said, all the artists to get involved in it. You know, you can submit your music, like I said, through, you know, hiphopnational.com and go to the tab, Jam It or Slam It, and just register. And like I was saying before, next week is our Women's Week, where we'll have women topics in music and in entertainment, and our ladies, Lady Di and Pebbles, will be hosting, and you guys will be going through, you know, topics that, you know, ladies want to hear about in the music industry and in the sports too. So we have a great guest on next Friday that's going to be imparting some sports stuff to us. So, you know, I advise everybody to tune in all next week. We're going to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll be off on Thursday and then Friday back on Friday. Next, so everybody, but it's for everybody, men and women, as you know, can come in also. Back to you, Poet.
Thank you very much for that word, sir. Really appreciate you holding it down for that second. We're getting ready to do our round robin. I wanted definitely, but before we do that, we're going to take us a brief break. We're going to let y'all hear the Jam It or Slam It winner, who's been holding it down for the past 2 weeks. Until we bring in another set of contestants to compete against him and see if that they can take the crown. The name of the song is Call Me. It's Call Me. It's by an artist called Kayvon. So y'all stay with us and listen to it, and y'all tell us y'all opinion about the song. Thank you. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio Conference Call and Feedback Line. Here we go.
Yeah. I go by the name of Kayvon. It's my single right here. Call me. Check it out. Yeah.
It appears that I really had a block moment. My whole just dropped out on me. Didn't get, unfortunately, a little bit of a tumble. I want to bring in our lovely host, Pebbles. Pebbles, you now have the floor. Apologize. We had some trouble.
Okay, no problem. Did you hear anything I said?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just saying that you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, Conference Call and Feedback Line, of course. You just heard Call Me by Povan. That is our reigning champion for our Damn It or Slam It competition. I am your co-host, Pebbles, of Hip Hop National Radio's favorite Georgia Peach, joining you better late than never. And I understand that we have the founder of the Tenderness Campaign online with us, E.W. Smith. Are you with us?
Pleasure finally meeting you, Pebbles.
Well, we've met before. But I'm glad to be on the line with you all tonight. If you can, I guess, tell our listeners a little bit about the Tenderness Campaign.
Absolutely. The Tenderness Campaign is an awareness campaign, making sure that all the world knows about the international epidemic of domestic violence and abuse. And in an effort to spread this word, we put together a compilation project that includes over 20 artists from all around the world that come from the genres of everywhere from folk music to hip-hop to country to Latin to punk rock and roll, to R&B, to soul, to gospel, inspirational. Timbaland is one of the artists on the project, and as you heard tonight, it's a beautiful song, and we're expecting some great things to happen with her, as well as all the other artists on the track. When I kind of look back, it's only been about 3 weeks that the campaign has launched, and the kind of traction and notoriety that we're getting from this has been absolutely amazing. But, you know, I've got to definitely point to Hip Hop National Radio as being one of the main reasons why we're getting the kind of exposure, getting the kind of respect, getting the kind of making the kind of impact that we're making, because this is such a phenomenal show. The information embedded here is just absolutely amazing. The show tonight has been absolutely amazing. I thought a little bit about distribution until I shut up and listened, and this is just an amazing show. So glad to be a part of this. The Dream Team is absolutely phenomenal. And what I've been doing is making sure that I let all the artists on the compilation know about the kind of information and kind of just conversation that's had on this program, so they too can benefit. And this can be a great project, not only for those that, you know, have been abused and are now survivors, but for those that have also, you know, taking the time to participate in this compilation project, because I think everybody can win all across the board at all levels. So, again, Pebbles, and my bad, I do remember our first meeting. Great talking to you again, and to the rest of the Dream Team. Thanks so much for allowing me to be a part of this and supporting the effort.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this very important campaign that you've launched. And, of course, you are definitely a friend of the show, and we appreciate you stopping by to let us know more about the project. We are getting to the point in our show where we are going to do a round robin and give everybody an opportunity to lend their final thoughts and closing remarks to tonight's topic. as well as let our listeners know how they can connect with you later. I understand we have Taisha Harris. I'll go to you. Taisha Harris, are you with us still? Okay, Poetic Colossal we have on the line. Hello? All right. I know we have Sean Deffel on the line with us. Sean, can you get us going?
Pebbles, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. Can you you hear anybody else? Or does it look like it's just us?
No, I can't, but if you need me to be your co-host, I'll continue to keep talking about while they figure out these technical difficulties.
All right, well, that's awesome. Go ahead. Let folks know how they can get a copy of the compilation album.
Thanks so much. You know, in fact, we're running a special throughout the balance of October where if you go to alittletenderness.com, alittletenderness.com, and sign up for the Tenderness Community, we'll give you a link to get a free download of the entire project. So, again, that's alittletenderness.com. Sign up for the community where you'll get to see some of the other things that we're doing behind the scenes and actually get to sign up to be a part of our effort. You get the newsletter and see the calendar of some of the upcoming events we've got, not only the Atlanta area, but hopefully across the country. And also gives you an opportunity to kind of share your thoughts and ideas as to what you think that some of the things are that we might want to do to make an even broader impact. And just kind of give you a chance to give your voice, you know, to the campaign. So, again, that's alittletenderness.com. And that's where you can find out more information. And then also for the people out there that want to be one of the sponsors for the organization, please feel free to contact us at alittletenderness.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that, EW. I appreciate it. Poetic, do we have the lines back available?